Good morning, and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics here on Survival Radio Network. I'm really ecstatic about talking to this former NBA executive who is now entrepreneur. But, you know, most interestingly enough, for those of you who have of an interest, she started just like you as athletic administrator. So that's the one part about this podcast. We talk about career and navigation and how you navigate from one stop to another. So hurry up and get comfortable, and let's hear from Dr. Janice Hilliard, President and CEO of Hilliard Creative Education Development Solutions, LLC, on her career journey. Welcome to the garden, Dr. Hilliard.
Well, good morning, Monique Smith. It is so exciting to be with you. Thanks for having me today.
Do you hear your cheers?
I hear them. Wow, I'm impressed.
Well, I'm impressed. I'm just, you know, I'm excited about hearing about your career journey. And we have several folks who have sent in questions that actually touch base almost all the areas of your career. But before we get to those questions, let's just give a good foundation of your career journey from college to your current position.
Okay, great. Thank you again. You know, I attended college, the University of Houston, on a basketball scholarship, got a degree there in education, became a high school teacher and coach in Texas, then went on to earn my master's in urban counseling at Michigan State, and then segued over really into higher education, student affairs administration, and then back into the public schools as a middle school and a high school counselor in Michigan. Then interned at the NCAA, which was really my segue into higher education athletics administration as an academic counselor at UNC in North Carolina. Then went on to be associate athletic director at Houston, back at my alma mater, for a few years. And then returned to Michigan State to complete a PhD that I had started years earlier, and spent some time then back at North Carolina. And then from there, transitioned to the NBA, where I was the last 16 years, and most recently as Vice President of Player Development, which is the department that's responsible for all the education, training, and life skills development of players. So that was my career path. In 2017, as you mentioned, I transitioned from the NBA and started my own company, which is really designed to engage, educate, and empower athletes at all levels to just take advantage of their opportunities and to be prepared for their successful life after sports.
Well, that is a very wide range of discussion in America today, transitioning. And it's interesting because one of the questions kind of deals with that, and I want to just kind of just ping-pong back and forth. I teach a course on psychosociology of sports, and one of the questions they talked about was the student-athlete transitioning and reasons why they transition out, and the difficulty of transitioning out. And one of the things that I'll share with the class was that one of the things that you can help with that is that you start identifying yourself in more than one way. And I've noticed now, even from entrepreneur world, people don't just say that they are authors. They say they're a mother, a father, a daughter, an author, a speaker. So when you identify yourself in more than one way, it gives you options, and that's the whole thing about transitioning. And so that being said, I want to jump right into one of the questions that is Arlene Richardson. She has this question. After working one-on-one with pro athletes for transitioning beyond their playing years, She's returned to grad school to earn a doctorate in sports management. What are some good approaches to pitching and procuring opportunity to provide consulting and training services to, she says, major league sport organization, but I'm going to expand for any area that kind of helps with transitioning, even if it's high school. What's a good way, because of this, because it's not necessarily mental health per se, but it's just a changing a shift of the mindset.
Sure. Thanks for that question. Actually, it's a great question, because I think one of the things that's important when we're getting our education and we're gaining experiences, and sounds like Arlene has certainly gained some appropriate experiences and really at a high level, you know, I would first think about, you know, what you've learned from your educational experience and from your work experience, and how that fits with the positions that one is looking at in the industry. And I think it's always particularly unique when one has what I really see as the appropriate educational background as well as the work experience. For example, as you know, Monique, my background, and really I'm an educator who has worked in sports my whole life, and it's really pretty unique, people that have sort of that combination, because a lot of times people look to transition into sports and they want to do certain things, but really that kind of educational training and experience is not there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, secondly, I think you have to know what the pro leagues or whatever company it is that one is interested in, to really do your research, you know, and homework and find out what they're already doing in those areas, whether it's consulting or training or what it is that you think that you want to do. I don't know how many times in different roles that I've had in different positions where I've had the opportunity to look at folks who are trying to join the organization or other organizations or interview and have a conversation with them, and they have no idea what already goes on in the organization that they're interested in. So that's not a good look. And it's not something that would set you apart. Think about, too, what kind of value that you would bring to the organization or to the position, and try to demonstrate or communicate it in a way that no one else can. With an advanced degree in this particular situation, there are some other skill sets and experiences that she can bring. For example, research. You know, how many people have done research and know how to present research in data? And not only in sports and education, that's something that's always needed. Understanding the culture, I think, in the climate, in the business of sports is particularly important. A lot of people want to work with athletes, quote unquote, but they're fans. And so there's nothing wrong with being a fan, but if that comes across in your conversation, in your research, in your networking, it's just something that you might want to check because of the visibility of what sports is and what folks are going to be looking for you to be able to do. And then I think finally, just think about the contributions. I encourage young people outside of organizational structures and institutional structures. There's so much of a need for researchers, as I mentioned, for entrepreneurs, for those who are advocates for athletes in different spectrums. And so I think, thinking the big picture, you know, when I was at the NBA, everybody almost that I met and interacted with, they wanted to work at the NBA. And, you know, I have to talk about, that's great, but there's also Major League Soccer, there's college athletics and sports, there's high school, there's community organizations. There's a lot of needs for those who, like me, are passionate about this work and just to, you know, to think big picture and out of the box.
For real. Here's another question. Eric Smith, creator of the Impact Financial Learning Experience, he says hello to his good friend. That's you.
Yes,
and I've heard a lot of him. I've never met him.
Yes,
his question,
Eric is. Yes, he's a good friend. We go back to Michigan State.
Okay. I wonder what the connection was. He says, "What are your suggestions to help a school develop an effective student development program that adequately prepares their students for future success?"
Well, that would be Eric giving me a tough question. Eric, like I mentioned, is we go back and having met actually at N4A years ago. And he does some work, as I'm sure you're aware, with colleges and universities in this space. You know, one of the things I think is really important based on my experiences is to form really what I call a core team of people at whatever institution one is at. And that core group of people, when you think about student development, should include people like counselors, like coaches. There's a school social worker, psychologist, even security, because they know what's going on. And then obviously you need a plan, a specific plan that has kind of goals and objectives and strategies. What is it that you want to accomplish? What are the resources that you need? Like a strategic plan. Mm-hmm. What's the timeline? What are the key responsibilities of people in this group? Because this group is going to implement the plan and be the ongoing point of contact. I like looking outside the school for resources, whether it's a high school, college, or in an organization, a sports organization, and remembering the community, parents, other agencies. You know, sometimes when we look at student development, student-athlete development, we only look organizationally within the institution itself, and there's not so many other resources and industry experts that are out there. And obviously, once you have a plan, you know, you need to be able to develop that plan and to revise it ongoing and to really communicate what you're learning and what you're accomplishing with the key stakeholders, with the key constituents, and with the partners. When I think about student development and I think about it from a curriculum perspective, you know, what those components should be, I think with students, a curriculum should follow each level in school. Mm-hmm. Just like, for example, if it's financial education with Eric, if you're looking at high school, you know, what is it what you would like for them to accomplish at the 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade? If it's at the college level, you know, look at it the same way so that there is some flow of consistency. And it may be academic information. It may be financial information. It could be development information. You know, it could be physically. When I think about coaching, and I use that experience with basketball, which is my experience, when you think about when coaches coach athletes, at whatever level they get them, they have to assess their skill level, they have to assess their knowledge level, they have to kind of meet them where they are. So as they advance from, let's say, middle school to high school to college to, you know, perhaps professional, you want to have a flow of curriculum. So whatever a student is learning or experiencing, you want that to flow throughout all their levels of experience. And so that's how I would look at curriculum and look at development in the components.
Well, let me ask this. Your company, Creative, I'm going to go to the front so I can get the exact title.
It's a long term.
Okay, hold on.
Just call it Hilliard Solutions. That'll be the, website in a few weeks.
Okay. All right. As heard here in the garden. Okay.
There
Hilton
you go.
Solutions.
I'm announcing it in the garden. It'll be HilliardSolutions.com in a few weeks. So we'll make sure that if you follow me on social media, you'll know when it's up. We're putting the final touches on it.
That's excellent. Well, being that we just said some of the elements you said were quite extensive, does your company offer those solutions?
Yes. I'm glad that you asked that. I didn't have an opportunity to talk further about the platforms. I just introduced them earlier at the top of the call, so I'll use this as a sales pitch, you know.
That's right.
So there are four components that we have in Hilliard Solutions. The first is consulting, and part of what we do with consulting is go out and work with educational institutions, athletics departments, sports organizations, community organizations, and in that consulting realm, do the things that I initially mentioned when you asked the first question about how do you look at a student development program. We help organizations, institutions assess, you know, what it is that they're doing, what they want to do, what a plan would look like, How do you evaluate that, look at their existing programming, and we help them to understand what the trends are in student development or student-athlete development, bring research, evidence-based information to them, and demonstrate an understanding of the culture, the climate, the needs of students developmentally, and are able to share with them industry experts out there, best practices, and really help them formulate a plan, whether it's middle school or it's in the community organization or at a college or university, even at the professional level. So that's one element. The second thing is staff professional development, able to assess staff, again, talk about what the skill sets are that are needed, bring in the research and be able to put together a training platform for the staff, whether it's the department or the organization. The third space deals with athletes themselves, helping them to create that curriculum that I mentioned earlier. What are the components that should be in there? And one thing I want to go back to what you said earlier, you talked about athletic identity being mm-hmm. key and an important issue, and that is an element and topic that is often left out. When we look at student-athlete development programming, you know, we look at financial education, we look at career development, but athlete identity, as you mentioned, is a core piece of helping athletes begin to see themselves as more than athletes. So there's athlete education and training. We do career coaching, which is relevant to what you talked about at the top of the call, whether that be with athletes, groups of athletes, with coaches, with people who are in student-athlete development who are wanting to transition to different positions and other levels. How do you do that? What are the skills that you need? And then finally, public speaking, which I enjoy doing a lot of. I think you sat in on one of my presentations down at Women Leaders last year or last fall. And so I'm out there on the circuit a lot. I love talking about education and athletics and helping to empower people. I do a lot of graduate and undergraduate guest lectures like you in athletic administration, also in student-athlete development. So those are the pieces of what we do at Hilliard Solutions.
Well, I'm excited about being able to promote you from a research evidence piece because I've been talking about Dr. Robin Martin's book and how she went from the athletic piece all the way up to the provost office. And I was saying, you know, that's great when you have folks who understand your world and can talk to the researcher and people who make decisions based on evidence. 'Cause many things that we do in athletics is some of it's gut check, some of it's based on experience that you have experienced yourself, and they might not have some, what does research say? So clearly when you give your consultation, I am 100% sure you say, and research says, I have no doubt.
No question. I mean, it's one of the things that, as I mentioned earlier to Arlene's question, you know, that you mentioned, when she was talking about her dissertation and her experience and how do you use that to sell yourself, to promote yourself, to really set yourself apart. Mm-hmm. You know, Monique, there's a lot of people out here in this student-athlete development world and space who are selling themselves and doing things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we understand the importance of marketability, but my observation and experience is if we really look at not only the qualifications and experiences, looking at the educational training for the work that these people are doing, you know, and again, I'm a little biased. You know, I'm an educator, so my background is in counseling. It's in psychology, and I just, you know, I find it so important to have that understanding and knowledge when you're working with athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's challenges, I think, you know, to that. And so it's something that I feel can set people apart
mm-hmm.
who are coming into the profession. Research is needed. And absolutely, you know, that's what I talk about as a part of my consulting, because I found that sports leaders and educational administrators at all levels, I mean, you know, they have a big job. They're doing their job every day, which is running the organization and the department. And so oftentimes they have a lot of the information when it comes to some of the other areas, you know, whether it's sports medicine or the coaches or, you know, trainers, all these other spaces. But how much time, you know, are they spending and how much information are they getting in this student athlete and athlete space? And that's one of the challenges that we have in this field is how do we bring this information and continue to prioritize the important work that we do at all levels, and that's informing them, the decision makers. And how do you inform and influence them is that you need evidence-based programming. You need research and data. You need to be able to market and sell your program. You need to have the training and professional development. You need to be able to communicate and be on board with coaches. And so these are all these things that we talk about. What's the structure like in student-athlete development or athlete development at whatever level? What does that look like? What should it look like? What are the best practices that are out there? So, yes, these are the things that we talk about in that consulting piece.
Well, I got two more questions. I want to go back to Arlene Richardson, who is in pursuit of her doctorate. And she says it's time for her to choose a research topic. And then we just talk about research and how important it is to your brand. She wants to know, in your opinion, what are some topics to consider in the pro athlete transition as it relates to research?
Sure. I have a couple that I think would be interesting because I'm always interested in research.
Mm-hmm.
I would research what are the challenges specifically that are relevant to pro athlete transition. And I think, you know, we think we know what those are, but I think nailing those down, like what identifying what they are, because that would provide some implications for addressing them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether particularly at the professional level. Like we know that athletes, you know, sometimes struggle with financially when they transition because that's what we see in the media, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't often see, for example, the emotional transition.
Mm-hmm.
We don't often get to see what happens with the families.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to see what happens with the loss of their identity
mm-hmm.
and being able to resume who they are or create a second career. So I think laying out those kinds of challenges and providing some implications for how they can be addressed, and they may not all be able to be addressed
mm-hmm.
by the professional organizations from which they are employed. There
mm-hmm.
may need to be some partnerships and some extents because the pro organizations do an outstanding job in trying to help their athletes transition. But one of the challenges that I'm well aware of, and if you understand athletes and how we think and operate, we're not often wanting to think about transitioning while
mm-hmm.
we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so to understand that and have the skill set to be able to deal with that is what I was referring to earlier when I talked about having the educational training
mm-hmm.
and counseling and career transition. The other is I think about I think it'd be great to analyze the existing pro athlete transition services
mm-hmm.
to analyze those. There are a lot that are out there. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of people are doing things in this space in different arenas and not just in sports, and to examine those implications for those service providers. Like
mm-hmm.
who should we be working with and partnering with outside of the professional organization? I think that would be great. I haven't seen any research there, you know, where we've looked at these are all the people that provide this service.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean? And then, you know, I like longitudinal studies. And now that I have more time in entrepreneurship, I have more time to devote to this academic side of me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, and refamiliarizing myself with research and writing and those kinds of things. But I like longitudinal studies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a longitudinal study look like about transitioning athletes, and what would those implications be for education and sports administrators?
Mm-hmm. When I was talking about it in my class, I alluded to McNair.
Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
How the special had just come out, and I said that one of the things that they alluded to his behavior was that he had a hard time transitioning. And I do know the NFL does put resources in getting consultants to help with transitioning of rookies. So the transition is coming out and coming in. And I think by concentrating that, hey, you know, there's a different skills and thought processing transitioning in, and if you continue that concept all the way from freshman, sophomore, junior, I'm still thinking about college. After your first year into the NFL, you continuously do that because they say they provide resources for the families at the same time. These are for the rookies. And that's a good concept because you don't see any difference. It's not like, let me go check with human resources because I'm about to retire.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I think the point, I didn't want to cut you off, but I think the point you're raising is really spot on. Because earlier, you know, we started talking about just development and career mm-hmm. transition for those of us in the profession. Well, the whole idea of transition and career development, you know, it's the same for everybody, but it manifests itself different in different industries. So that when we talk about in situations, so when we talk about athletes, you're absolutely right. It's understanding there's different types of transitioning. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with McNair out of the league, with athletes coming into professional or even coming into the college setting. Mm-hmm. And so that programming back that Eric mentioned earlier, that's why the curriculum should include transition elements
mm-hmm.
throughout. Because there are, just like there are different things that occur from a development perspective related to the sport itself, let's take basketball, those changes are occurring. There are changes occurring in the business at the professional level, and there's things changing even at the college level. So, for example, to think about transition in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
And let me give a better example. Let me give a professional example that would be better. So, when an athlete comes in at the professional level, he's really thinking about, or she's really thinking about, getting that second contract.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So their time, their energy, their focus is on staying in the league once they mm-hmm. get there. So that's in addition to the transition to just coming into the league or the transition to just coming to college from high school. There's so many elements relevant to transition that a program and an initiative, yes, needs to address all those different types of transitions. And, Monique, they are different for individual athletes. We can't really kind of throw them all in the pool. And football is different than basketball. It's different than hockey. There's different than soccer. There's different than tennis. And so you have to adjust for those transitions. And we have to get to know these athletes at all levels as individuals. And that really is the work of what people do in this role. My experience is that at the, you know, at all levels, college and professional, there are those programs in place, like you mentioned. The challenge is, how do we relate to the athletes, understand their individual situation, develop the relationships to the point to where we can help them begin to maximize those resources and use them while they're competing? Because that is really the challenge. If you understand the mentality of a student athlete, that's a difficult job to do.
Well, for Arlene, I like to say what you just said, that's another topic, the different type of transitioning programming on professional levels for more than one type of sport. I think that would be very interesting, too.
I agree.
I have one last question, and we're going a little over. So thank you, Clark. I appreciate you. Love you dearly. David Grant, a resiliency trainer, professional, what is your outlook for minority health providing specifically to athletes?
My outlook is that, one, that's an area that's especially needed. I know the NCAA has done some work, some research in mental health and wellness. I don't know if any of that work, research information has been deciphered up, you know, by race or sport. But I would encourage folks in this space, this is a great time to look at the mental health and wellness element to find out what's out there, what's needed, and to really create some data around this particular population, because I don't know how much of it is out there, but it's much, much needed.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you for everyone who called in with information, questions for Dr. Hilliard. I think this was a fantastic discussion, and so thank you so very much.
Thank you, Monique, and if anyone would like to follow up or stay in contact with me, like the last question we didn't get an opportunity to explore fully, if I could, I'd invite the listeners in the chat to reach out to me. I'm Dr. J. Hill, 81 at iCloud.com. That's DrJHill, the number 81 at iCloud.com. They can follow me on Twitter at HillardSolti, the number 1, and on Twitter at AthEmpower, AthEmpower, and on Instagram at Hilliard Solutions.
Well, thank you again, and as always, I'd like to thank my engineer and the CEO of Survival Radio Network, Clark Garrison, and for the brand definer, Nikki Curry, for identifying this great opportunity. Join us next Wednesday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcast follow-ups. Join us at Facebook's Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.